Good morning, New Covenant, or whenever you might be listening to this recording. My name is Jeff Trask, and as always, it's my honor and privilege to be able to share the teaching with you today. This teaching is going to continue the theme of risking various things for God. We're in our third Sunday of Advent, and so this time we're going to talk about risking trust. And we can talk about risking trust in the context of believing that our God is a God of justice. So believing that our God is a God of justice. And at some point in time in our lives, we've had to have trusted someone or something. Trust is a very big part of our lives. And of course, there's reasons of why we trust in the first place. And it's not easy, right, to trust. You know, we could just go it alone or just try to take care of ourselves without any help or just try to figure things out without any kind of outside influence. But we tend to choose to trust instead of those things. And sometimes we trust because we don't have a choice. Like, for example, when we were children and babies, we had no choice but to trust our parents would raise us and take care of us. And even as our life cycle goes on and we get older, at some point, we trust our caregivers to take care of us where we don't have much of a choice, or even any given point in time when you have to have surgery, for example, you need to have someone you can trust to pick you up and take you home and take care of you afterwards. So sometimes we trust because there's just no choice. Other times we trust because it makes life more manageable and a little easier. Well, for example, we generally trust the food that we eat. Now, there may be a handful of people in the country that may grow or raise every single thing they eat, but most of us go to the grocery store. And so we generally trust in the food that we eat, and it makes life much more manageable and easier as opposed to not trusting any of the food we eat and having to grow everything on our own. And then finally, trusting makes life more meaningful and enjoyable. Were you trusting in your friends to keep confidential things that you can have something you can share with, or sharing your life with someone in general, or having family that you can rely on? All those things make life better and more meaningful and more enjoyable when we trust. And of course, there's the downsides of trusting. There's the always possible notion of getting hurt, getting disappointed. And when these things happen, it makes it difficult for us to trust again. So you have that baggage to deal with. And it also can make you lose faith, not only in those you might have trusted, but those who might even resemble those you trusted. How often do you hear people have a bad relationship experience and trusting in someone, and they are hesitant or almost unable to trust in someone again in a new relationship? So how does this trusting look like in terms of God? You know, I find it a bit ironic that our most regular reminder about who we should put our trust in is on our currency. You see, on our money and God we trust. And the reality is that we often don't trust God more than we trust in money or other things in this earth. But Psalm 146, 3 and 4 kind of warns us about that. It says, "Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish." So in other words, if you're trusting in anything other than God, ultimately, it has an expiration date, you know, which would be pretty depressing. You know, well, you don't have anything to look forward to. It's almost like you're going to pay for a plane ticket for a flight that you know is going to crash at some point in time. And just like in general about trusting, well, we could do it by ourselves and not worry about other people or not let anything else influence us. We can try to do the same thing with God, right? We can try to go it alone and do it ourselves, which we often find ourselves doing sometimes. Or we can try to take care of things without any of God's help. Or we could try to figure things out without any of God's influence. But just like with regular trust, sometimes we don't have a choice but to trust in God. For example, when it comes to understanding the origins of the universe and how we came to be on this planet and in this world altogether in our existence, to some degree, I mean, you can choose other religions or other things to believe in, but at some point, we don't have a choice but to trust in something to have answers to those questions. Also, trusting in God can make life more manageable and easier. Trusting in God gives us something that can guide the way we live our lives. It can give us meaning. It can give us purpose. And finally, trusting in God can make life more enjoyable. Trusting in God's promises is uplifting, encouraging, and life-giving. Some, after warning about trusting in man and temporary things, goes on in verses 5 and 6 to say, "Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever." So when it comes to risking trust, I think about, well, what are we risking when we are trusting in God? Well, in part, we risk our eternal destiny. You know, we risk hoping for heaven. We risk hoping for something that is beyond this earth, that we have something to look forward to after we leave this earth. We also risk wasting money. After all, a big part of being a Christian and being a believer is our giving. So while the money we give to support things that we feel God is leading us to support could be used for other things, we're risking that, those resources. And we also risk in our worship. I mean, if this whole God thing is not real, we kind of look silly raising our hands and singing and all those kind of things. But I will tell you that with risking eternal destiny and risking our resources and risking worship, to me, none of those things seem to be terribly risky. And what I mean by that is, by being a Christian, by being a believer, by believing in Jesus, you are said, we're told that we go to heaven by being believers and having faith. And when it comes to our resources, while we do give, people give a lot of money, and sometimes we give sacrificially, we don't give to a point where we risk losing our homes or we risk not being able to eat or anything like that. And even in our worship, while we may look silly, we don't really risk much when the fact is that we'll all look silly together. But one of the things that I have the most difficult thing when it comes to trusting God in and risking trust is when it comes to justice, when it comes to believing that God will make things right. Psalm 146 verse 7 says, "God who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord sets the prisoners free." As you have seen and heard throughout the last several months with the Reparations Committee, there's a lot of justice that needs to be done. And it just makes me wonder, can God take care of all this? Can God take all this messed up, painful, unjust, disparity-driven, deficit-driven, all these things that are just short of what ought to be and make it right? Well, according to Luke, God can. Luke says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliest of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." Now, if this is not a God of justice described here, I don't know what is. And so we just have to risk believing here in Luke that this is a God of justice. Now, we may ask the question sometimes, where is this justice? So many things going on, I don't see it happening. And while I'm sure some justice prevails here on earth right now, you know, I'm sure we can make a pretty good case that we fall pretty short of that. If nothing else, the things that we talked about in our Reparations Committee for the last few months should convince you of that. So what do we do? Well, according to James, we are to be patient. James says in chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near."